You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of November 29th, 2016, and episode number 291. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Who else would it be? So tonight, we've got a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of ground to cover, but we got some new news. New news? Is that a thing? Yeah, anyway. More potential evidence of the thylacine has been released. I don't know if you've seen that or not. That's some pretty interesting stuff there. I'm also going to talk about how to make some extra dough. We need extra money this time of the year, right? Pay off all of our Christmas stuff. Well, how would you like to make an extra $30,000 from NASA? I'll tell you how to do that. It's pretty simple. And the end, well, the end is nigh, as they say. It's coming soon. And I'll tell you how long we have here on Earth. And we're tonight, this is it. We're going to begin. I know it's early. It's not even December yet. But hey, people were playing Christmas music 2 weeks ago. So we're going to start the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016 tonight, right here live on the Paranormal News Insider. Well, not all of it, just two of them, number 10 and number 9. We're also going to cover some stories that didn't make the list and talk about all of the other things coming up over the course not only tonight, but of the next 4 weeks, four more weeks to cover. That's how much information that we've covered all year long. 52 weeks. Well, it's only been 44 weeks, I think, that I've been on the air this week. Or this year. So that's a lot of news, a lot of information to crush into 5 weeks. In addition to, like I said, tonight there is new news to cover. And this week's news is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. Metaphysics is actually the scientific study of consciousness, existence, and reality, and includes such topics as theoretical mathematics, to quantum physics, to cosmology, to psychic phenomena. Metaphysical Humanistic Science, also called metaphysical humanism, is simply our term for the study of metaphysics focused on understanding and enhancing the human condition and all that it encompasses. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And today, I didn't know this. Today, I just found this out before I went on the air. I was checking the Twitter sphere, the Twitterverse, whatever you want to call it. I guess you just call it Twitter, right? And I guess today is Cliff Barachman's birthday. So happy birthday, Cliff, out there from Finding Bigfoot, in case you didn't know who that was. Not that we know each other or anything. And tonight is also a very special birthday. Our very own Audrey Hamilton, MUFON field investigator and frequent chat room attendee. I'm kind of hoping she's not here tonight. Live in the chat room. She should be doing some more important things, and it's her birthday. Unless, you know, it's her wish to listen to the show, then I get it. I get it. So happy birthday, Audrey, and hope you have a very good one tonight. What else do we have? Lauren Coleman. Lauren needs your help. Now, this is the season of giving. Today is, what is that? Tuesday... I forget what it's called, the Tuesday donation night for cancer. I know that, but Lauren needs your help. The well-known writer and cryptozoologist has had a series of health setbacks lately, which includes now 6 surgeries in the last 4 years. Now, things have gotten a little tight financially for Lauren, who's 69 years old, and he's asking for your financial help. And that, you know, I don't know. Some people don't like that. But you know what? For me, I don't think I could ask for help. I'm just kind of that way. So I'm sure it takes a lot for him to publicly ask for financial assistance. That's not an easy thing for many people to do at all. So a GoFundMe site has been set up for Lauren Coleman, and you can donate to him to help cover some bills and get him back to writing and researching and get him back on his feet again. None of us like to be where he's at, and we can all, you know, it's a season of giving. So if you can donate, if you can help anything to help out Lauren, you can look that up. It's GoFundMe.com/Lauren's-medical-fund. And I'll be posting that in social media probably tonight after the show, to be honest with you. It is an important thing to get this information out there for people. I mean, he's a great guy, and he's done a lot for me, I can say, being the writing a foreword for my book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist. And he's a wonderful researcher, even if I didn't know him, a wonderful researcher and investigator. And his books have really helped mold and shape a lot of the people that are part of this field of cryptozoology. So please, anything you could do to help him out. Again, GoFundMe.com/Lauren's-medical-fund. And speaking of cryptozoology, don't forget, last week was the book of the week, Cryptid Culture Magazine. It's a new online and print magazine dedicated to stories and articles on cryptids from all over the world. And I had an article in the November edition of Cryptid Culture Magazine titled The Rise and Fall of the Loveland Frog. Great little magazine. A lot of great artwork on there, or in there, I should say. Well, on there, too, on the front cover. And Colin Schneider, a good friend of mine who's an up-and-coming cryptozoologist, just 16 years old, got to speak at his school earlier this year. He's also featured in this magazine talking about the chupacabra. So check that out, Cryptid Culture Magazine. Just Google that. Google that. And what else do we have? Well, yeah, I can mention the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. Finally got my notification. Check was in the mail. I swear it was. And finally got caught up to Benner's Meadow Run Campground. So I'm official. I have my campsite. And I got my, well, I don't need tickets to get them, but you do, unless you're speaking. Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. It's intense. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Yeah, it is intense. We're in tents. We're sleeping in tents, and it's going to be intense. A lot of great speakers. Eric Altman is going to be speaking. He was the MC. He was the master of ceremonies last year. He's turned that over to Dave Dragason this next year, and he's going to be speaking. Stan Gordon's coming back. Steve Coles, the Squatch Detective, will be back. Great guy, extremely knowledgeable, and hope that I'm in between him and Stan Gordon again as far as tables. That was a lot of fun to be kind of bookended by those two extremely knowledgeable researchers and investigators. And a lot of other things coming up for that event. That's not until May of next year. I know that sounds a long time away, but it's coming up quick. May 5th through the 7th, 2017 in Farmington, Pennsylvania. That's all I have. Well, for that stuff. Now we're going to jump into the news. That's what you're here for, right? That's what you're tuning in every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. On WCJVradio.com, right? That's what you're here for, the news. See what I did there? A little quick advertisement. Anyway, yes, cryptid news tonight. And I mentioned this at the top of the show. The thylacine videos are still coming in. What's going on with that? Why all of a sudden? What is? Are we on the brink of finding, of discovering these animals? Let's not get carried away here. Come on. This animal has been extinct for quite a while, and where they're finding these videos, not so confident. But anyway, to the story, the Thylacine Awareness Group, headed by Neil Waters, has released more footage of a purported thylacine. This has been making the rounds. It's been in the news the last couple of days, coming out of the weekend. Sunday, they had a nice little get-together. Talk about that, too. Not sure about that. Now, the group had released a video back in late March of this year and another in early September, but neither one really convinced anyone that they were real, as there were plenty of potential explanations for what might be in the videos. One word, well, I guess two words, mangy fox, I guess is the leading explanation for that, for those videos. But wait, there's more. A third video. This one shot on a trail camera at night in Western Australia. This one was released on Sunday to the, well, not to the general public, but to the paying public, let's put it that way. While the thylacine went into extinction officially in 1986, the last captive Tasmanian tiger died at the Hobart Zoo in 1936, and no validated sightings have occurred since, although rumors have persisted. The thylacine was known to exist in Tasmania, but has not been seen on mainland Australia in about 2,000 years. 2,000 years. That's kind of a long time to kind of escape being seen by anybody. The thylacine, also known as the Tasmanian tiger or Tasmanian wolf, was a four-legged carnivorous marsupial which had a thick tail at the base of its body and also had definitive dark stripes on its lower back. Waters is a believer that the thylacine is alive since he first saw one about 6 years ago while walking his dog, which ultimately sparked him to investigate the creature. He has since seen another one about 2 years ago. I have to laugh because I was looking for thylacine videos and looking at the one of these videos, and I saw this this guy, he painted his dog. He put like tape on his dog. It was kind of funny. And it just jumped into my mind as I was reading this. Anyway, one thing about this this release, it's kind of, I've kind of already made much into it, is that Waters sold tickets to view the footage, which the I guess the video party, the watch party, was Sunday in Australia. Now, he had space for 120 people to listen to some of the special presenters, participate in an auction of thylacine artwork, oh, and watch 2 3-second clips of the purported thylacine. 2 3-second clips, all for $8. Now, that's not bad. $8 to get into a convention, that's not too bad of a deal. But when the highlight is 2 3-second clips of a purported thylacine, I don't know about that. Well, the proceeds will go to help fund Mr. Waters' future research. Now, I was a little kind of let down. I saw one of the videos. There was the initial photograph of one. I've not been able to find a video for that one. But the when I saw the picture of the other one, I've already seen that one. So I looked it up quickly on YouTube, and I found out that it was released back in August of 2014. So I'm kind of glad I wasn't there. If I'd have paid $8 to see a clip of a 31-second video that I've already seen, got to be a little steamed about that. But I don't know. It's kind of questionable to take money for something that's not even your work and try to make a little bit of money for it. I don't know. It's kind of questionable. The videos came from another animal network, and so I don't know. But again, the third video, I'm not sure. This one is no more convincing. It's really blurry if you've seen it. I did put breaking news on the Facebook page for the Paranews Insider, Paranormal News Insider, paranewsinsider.com. And just, you know, normally I rehash the news through the week, but this one, I kind of felt that I wanted to get this out there for people to see it right away because it's going to be a fairly decent story. And you wonder, is the thylacine going to make the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016? Well, you're going to have to wait probably another 15 minutes to find out the answer to that. Well, maybe in a couple of weeks. Who knows? Maybe it's number one. No, it's not number one. I'm going to tell you right now. It's not number one. Ghost news. Okay, now this one is a little warning to it. This is one of the scariest ghost stories I've covered to date. So you might want to send the kids upstairs. You might want to turn on an extra light or put down that glass of wine. Yeah, I see you. You've got to, that's okay. Go ahead and drink it all. That's fine. I'm cool with that. Paranormal investigator Lee Smart out of South Wales in the United Kingdom recently encountered a ghost in a window at the Mountain Ash Hospital in Wales while filming his television show Twisted Paranormal. I don't know if that's how they say it, but Twisted Paranormal just sounds exciting. The scary part came after he reviewed the footage because, of course, most ghost investigators don't really do anything that time except run around and scream. All your evidence is found when, you know, you're sitting comfortably at home 3 days later, right? So reviewing this footage of what appeared to be an apparition looking out of a window and then stepping back, that's not the scary part. The scary part is Smart and another investigator listened closely to the footage and heard the words, quote, "You watch your back, ha, 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 because I'll kill you," unquote. That's supposedly what they heard. That's the quote directly from this apparition. I mean, that's absolutely frightening. Watch your back, ha, 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 because I'll kill you. I mean, it was even laughing. Wow. That's scary. But I do research. So I research things, and sometimes I put myself out there to do things that nobody else really wants to do. Looking at different things, researching different things, looking at photographs for hours on end, and also listening to absolutely frightening EVP. So I listened to it for you, and I can't play it back for you, but I listened to it, and I'm going to give you exactly what I thought it sounded like. Well, I'm going to kind of do an interpretation, I'm just going to simulate what I heard. This is exactly what I heard, and I quote, unquote. That's exactly what I heard. Now, as far as the television show, I'm not sure if that's a real thing or not. I'm out of the loop. I haven't had an investigation team of my own in a few years, so I don't know if that's kind of what you call it nowadays. You know, we used to call it being out on an investigation or investigating a house. Do we call it filming a show now? I don't know. It seems like everyone's just caught up in this whole YouTube-ish, got to put our paranormal group to simulate what's on TV already kind of mode. I don't know, but it's silly. It's silly. You're either doing an investigation or you're on TV. You can't do both. You can't. Now, the EVP, yes, it was extremely questionable. It didn't sound like much to me. I didn't hear any intelligible words. I don't know if it's just the way that they put the audio onto their video. If it really sounded that horrible, that's horrible, or not. But it really didn't sound like exactly what they said at all. And, you know, no, don't mean any offense to them. It's not just them. There's a lot of groups out there that just get caught up in their own personal evidence and the evidence collection methodologies, which are sketchy at best. I guess sketchy is a good word for it. If you're going to put this stuff out there, if you're going to publicly put out stuff and quote things that this whole story is about this quote, it didn't even sound anything like that at all. So it changes the entire dynamic of the story when your evidence or so-called evidence or whatever you want to call it doesn't match up to what you're saying. It's just a loose interpretation of what they felt. And I think their fear got a little bit more advantage of them. And give yourself a couple of days before you react and contact the press about stuff like that. Just give yourself some time to really evaluate it. Have other people listen to it and get their two cents. Unless they're, you know, trying to get on your TV show as well, then, they're just going to side with you anyway. So anyway, that's your ghost news. I know not a good good story there for some people. Are probably a little upset with me for saying stuff like that. But I just speak the truth of what I interpret. And I guess my interpretation is just my opinion. Other news. Yes, how can you make $30,000 from NASA? I wondered that myself when I first saw the story. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is another crappy story. But anyway, we'll talk about this. NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, well, they're pretty well known for contracting out work. Well, nowadays, I guess we call it crowdsourcing. And NASA is asking for help with an issue that will become a major problem when spaceflight moves beyond Earth orbit back to the moon. Hopefully we go back and beyond. They're asking for help for a design that will help keep the astronauts healthy and alive during flight alive. That's a pretty important thing here. This problem could affect the livelihood of these astronauts. That's how important this is. And they're asking you for your input. And it could put a cool $30,000 in your pocket merely for a design concept that adheres to the Department of Defense's technical readiness level of 4. Well, that's basically meaning a basic working design that can be tested for implementation. The design would have to be adapted to the inside of the modified Advanced Crew Escape suit, which is the orange spacesuit that the U.S. astronauts wear, that is pressurized to 4.3 PSID, which is per square inch differential. This design is for extended flights and emergencies and would operate within the suit with a potential external or internal power supply not exceeding 28 volts with the current below 100 milliamps. Well, I don't want to go into all the technical details, but they do a very good job. This website really spells out all the information that they need from you in your design. And you don't have to go to you don't have to go in the Shark Tank for this. I mean, well, maybe you could. You don't have a whole lot of time. But anyway, what's the issue for? You may wonder. You may wonder. This is a pretty big deal. And I'm going to throw the link in the chat room and let them get a little sneak preview here. The issue, well, from the, I'll just have the website kind of tell you. The website, which is contracted out to Hero X, states, quote, "What's needed is a system inside a spacesuit that collects human waste." Yeah, human waste for up to 144 hours. 144 hours. I got to time myself next time. And routes it away from the body without the use of the hands. The system has to operate in the conditions of space where solids, fluids, and gases float around in microgravity, what most of us think of as zero gravity. It's actually microgravity. And don't necessarily mix or act the way they would on Earth. How many people mix up? Well, anyway, the system will help keep astronauts alive and healthy over 6 days or 144 hours, unquote. So yes, sometimes you have to go, and sometimes you have to go in a total vacuum. Currently, astronauts wear diapers. That's right, they wear diapers. So you go to space camp as a kid, you get excited about being an astronaut. I don't know how many kids do nowadays. And, you know, you go through flight training school. Maybe you're in the military and you dream of being an astronaut, which is astronomical just to get into flight or to get into astronaut school. You get accepted, you work your way up, and you get fitted for your spacesuit, and you got to wear a diaper. Wow. So yeah, they wear diapers when in a suit for an extended period of time, but using this option beyond one day does not present a healthy option. Now this contest, I'm not making this up. This contest is named the Space Poop Challenge, and it's a serious effort to handle a serious problem in space. The website of the challenge is, like I said, it's pretty extensive and contains many articles, including one titled, quote, "How to Poop in Outer Space," unquote. Yeah, it does. It really does. And it's actually a really interesting article. But word of warning, all I can really tell you is please resist the urge to read the comments section of how to upgrade their poop process if you ever want to comfortably use the restroom ever again in your lifetime. It's pretty interesting stuff. And people get a little technical in there. I don't know why they're not saving their ideas for that 30 grand. I don't know, but it's a little disturbing. So yes, if you want to learn how to poop in outer space, you can check out herox.com /space poop. Hero X, I should say. herox.com/space poop. Space poop. Well, I don't think I can help with that situation. I mean, I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know, maybe I can think of something real quick, and I'm just kind of like thinking about it. Then all of a sudden I was like, my God, I'm thinking about how to poop in space, how to poop better in space. Sorry, I have a little bit more important things to do than to worry about pooping in space. Well, the next story pretty much says you don't have to worry about any of this. You don't have to worry about people pooping in space anymore. It doesn't matter, because according to former University of Arizona professor Guy McPherson, we only have 10 years left on the planet at most. And McPherson pretty much lays this out when he says, quote, "We don't have 10 years. The problem is when I give a number like that, people think it's going to be business as usual until 9 years and 364 days. It's locked down. It's been locked in for a long time. We're in the midst of our sixth mass extinction," unquote. He's a pretty chipper guy, it sounds like. Well, he goes on to say, quote, I can't imagine there will be human, will be a human on the planet in 10 years, unquote. Wow. Well, what's the reason for this impending die-off of the human race? Well, it's not anything to do with pooping in space. It's about climate change. Oh, you knew that was coming. Well, last week we talked about a solar minimum, a potential solar minimum, plunging the Earth into a mini ice age. And apparently now we're all going to be chicken tenders in less than 10 years. Now, that might sound a little bit dramatic, but according to McPherson, it's a reality. McPherson shared his thoughts to Paul Henry on November 24th while in New Zealand, where a new team was just appointed to help tackle the climate change issue down in New Zealand. Huh. A team to tackle the climate change issue. Kind of sounds like the Avengers of the weather, I guess. Well, McPherson was on his self-proclaimed, and I'm not making this up, his self-proclaimed, quote, abrupt climate change tour New Zealand 2016, unquote. What if I can get t-shirts for that? Seriously, it's on Facebook. Check it out. Look for it. Under his website, McPherson, Guy McPherson. Look it up. Not now. Wait till the show's over. He also says, quote, we're heading for a temperature within that span that is at or near the highest temperature experienced on Earth in the last 2 billion years, unquote. 2 billion years. When I read that, I wasn't sure about that, so I had to look it up. So is he saying there is no hope for us to solve this issue? Well, he's got that covered. As he said, quote, I think hope is a horrible idea. Hope is wishful thinking. Hope is a bad idea. Let's abandon that and get on with reality instead. I love to party with this guy. Let's get on with living instead of wishing for the future that never comes, unquote. I mean, we all have somebody like this at work, don't we? While that might sound negative, he does give some good advice as to what we should do with our precious last decade. I'm sorry, less than our precious last decade on the planet as a race, as he says, quote, I encourage people to pursue excellence, to pursue love, to pursue what they love to do. I don't think these are crazy ideas, actually. And I also encourage people to remain calm because nothing is under control, certainly not under our control anyway, unquote. Huh. Well, that's comforting, I guess. Well, I guess I'll keep doing the show until the lights go out. What else can I do? Well, he has no access to any special data, I guess, and obviously is avoiding many facts, such as the Earth has been much warmer as recently as 2 million years ago. I looked it up. There's more than one resource for that, not 2 billion. Now, McPherson made similar remarks on the same show back in 2014 when he said the only way to turn things around was to, quote, terminate industrial civilization, unquote. Well, I'm not ready to jump off a bridge anytime soon. And I don't think we should just like start flicking switches and turning everything off. It's not going to like change everything overnight. It's kind of like science. It's a process. You can't just turn everything off and clean everything up and hope everything gets back to normal. The Earth is constantly changing. It doesn't just sit here and react to everything that we do and just kind of sit around and wait till we do something wrong. I mean, from my point of view, and I've had this argument with a lot of different people, I think we have been more responsible with the Earth than we were 150 or even 20 years ago. I mean, not everybody. There are still crazy people out there that are burning stuff or doing things that we shouldn't be doing. I get that. But as a whole, I think we're doing better. Now, again, the Earth isn't just going to like clean itself up in 10 years or 20 years or 50 years or 100 years and just turn around. And are we even being affected by any of this stuff anyway? We don't really know. We can't really say, I got a great idea. Let's let a whole bunch of carbon dioxide loose and see if the temperature goes up tomorrow. We can't do things like that. It's not how it works. So we don't know. But what we do know is we can be more responsible. But to shut everything off or to jump off a bridge or just say, well, give up. Who cares? It's over. I guess a little irresponsible. And it's for a scientist to say that. I think it's very irresponsible. Whether man-made global warming is truth or not, that's beside the point. It's not the argument here. The argument is, what do we do? Do we give up? Do we raise the white flag and say it's over? Or do we just become more responsible? I think he's just trying to be an alarmist and just try to get people's attention. but it's silly. And a lot of people that have heard this, I think he's crazy. And I'm not saying he's crazy, but a lot of his peers, a lot of other scientists have also said that. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Just panic? Well, I guess McPherson seems to have that part covered already. But yeah, as far as Earthlings, as far as us being extinct within 10 years, as he says, his peers don't seem to agree. And frankly, I don't either. I think it's a little bit of an alarmist attitude to suddenly jump to that conclusion and say it's all going to be over that fast. So good thing is we're going to have time to talk top 10 paranormal news stories before it's all said and done. Hopefully the lights don't go out and time doesn't end and the earth just like turns into a chicken nugget within the next week or two. I don't know. I better check the weather. No, we're good. Mid-40s. So the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. We're going to start talking this now. And yes, as stories do come in that are new, I'm still going to try to talk about them. And good thing it was kind of a slow news week, as you can kind of tell. A couple of stories I didn't cover, though. The one about the, I kind of made fun of the one ghost story. But this other ghost story that's floating around, no pun intended, is about that picture. I don't know if you've seen this, about the girl or the woman, they think, is at the top of at the bottom of the stairs there, coming around the corner. You can see the hand there. I'm not sure what to make of that that yet. Kind of looked at the picture, and I'm not so sure. It just seems too good to be true. And if you've listened to my show, you've listened to me interviewed about ghosts and what I understand ghosts to be. Ghosts are not physical, tangible beings. So to get one that's a physical being, a physical object on camera, that's more or less, more than likely, probably something else. Either it's a hoax, it's a real person, or it could be if it is a, I don't know, by definition, ghost, it's probably a projection of the investigators. It's not a physical entity. But anyway, yeah, there's a couple of other stories floating around, and that's pretty much about the gist of all that. But as stories pop up, yes, we will be covering them, also be talking top 10 paranormal news stories going forward, probably at least half the show, which is where we're at right now. We're at the bottom of the hour. And I want to let you know you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are just about to talk top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And you may say, yes, come on, we just had turkey. Thanksgiving is over. We just had Cyber Monday. Why are we talking top lists already? Hey, I got to beat the punch. I got to get out there, right? It's almost December. And you're going to start seeing some countdowns. So I might as well kick it off, right? I'm going to kick it off. And I did the same thing last year, and I've done this pretty much since 2010. And a little history about the show. I was the first guest of a show called The Grand Dark Conspiracy back in April of 2008. I didn't know at the time that I was the first guest. I just found out that I was the first guest. So, you know, normally I like to see if a show is a good fit for me and if I'm going to be a good fit for the show, but there was no precedent. So I said, why not? The guy sounded like he knew what he was doing. Dan Bouts, the host. And so I did it, and it was a good show. It was a great interview, and watched the show, maintained the show, kind of helped out with it a little bit, kind of talked to Dan about people that I knew for potential interviews and whatnot. But back then, the show was a monthly show. It was on the beginning, the first week of the month, every month, and I came back a few months into it, and during the two-hour interview, we talked about other paranormal news stories, and at the time, the Georgia Bigfoot hoax was going on. So we were talking a lot about that story, and we'd kind of briefly mentioned about paranormal news. And after the show was over, the interview was over, we probably talked another 2 or 3 hours on the phone and kind of came to an agreement that he wanted a little segment, which ended up being the Paranormal News Insider. And the show joined the Grand Dark Conspiracy back in September of 2008, and again, it was a monthly show until 2010, and didn't do a top 10 paranormal news countdown in 2008, obviously, because I was only in my fourth show in December. And 2009 didn't do it either, but I was invited in 2010 to be the first guest of the year. And it became kind of a tradition for the show for me to be the first guest of the year. And then kind of became the tradition for me to be a guest around Halloween as well. And in the beginning of the year, we started talking about the year that was and the year that will be and doing predictions and things like that. Well, the top 10 paranormal news stories was really born from that, from these coming back and talking about the years. And I started to put these together beginning in 2010. So this is the seventh year that I've done a countdown. And you may wonder, well, how do you do it? Do you just like throw darts at a board, or do you how do you do it? Do you put them in a hat, draw them out of a hat? Not really. Well, it seems like it sometimes. And some people don't agree with the way I do it or agree when the stories come out. And sometimes I look back on some of the years and I'm like, what was I thinking? Or it's kind of embarrassing because some of these stories that I chose as number one end up being hoaxes. But you don't know. You just take a wild stab at it. When the year is out or the year is almost up, and you hope that everything lies the way it should be. But this list helps us remember the stories from the year that was, and helps us remember some of the issues that we encountered during the year that might have fooled us or taught us something along the way. It's very important that we review our history, or as it said, we're doomed to repeat it. And it's funny because there's a lot of stories that crop up that are the same thing over and over again. It's just a different packaging or a different person behind it. It helps us prepare for the next year, where we'll more than likely, again, see very similar stories. As we look back on these stories years from now, we will see similar patterns or how stories that were high on the list and so promising turn out to be nothing at all. It's happened more than once. I guess it boils down to just documenting and remembering the past as it happened, because as we know, sometimes things get twisted in the future and we forget about the solution to some of these stories, and people just focus on the folklore or the popularity of what it was at the peak. And people sometimes forget that some of these stories were actually solved. So that's kind of my job. It's where I come in and I document these stories and I tell you the truth behind them. Not really my job, but it's what I like to do. So you may wonder, how is this list designed? How do I come up with the top 10 paranormal news stories of each year, and how are they put together? Well, they're put together simply by my opinion. It's me. So if you don't like it, you don't like the way they're put together, blame me, because this is my list and this is how I see all these stories coming together from talking about them all year long and watching how they develop. Now, they're obviously collected from the stories that I talk about all year long, and they're ranked by a couple of pieces of criteria. It's not an exact science. It's kind of like kind of by gut. And I don't think about it during the year, because if I thought about it during the year and start ranking stories, it kind of makes it a little harder to do this at the end of the year. I just kind of pick all these stories through the months or through the weeks, and I just start putting them on a separate page. I just copy them and I look at them and I write down some of the ones that I think are very good stories. And this year I ended up with like, I don't know, 45, 46 stories. Sounds like a lot, but it's not. I've had some years, I've had 80 some odd stories that were very interesting stories. So how do I pick and choose? How do I come up with this list? Well, one question I ask, probably the most important question, is have they made a positive impact on one area or more of the paranormal? Many stories I talk about are hoaxes and misinterpretations, but what stories have created an awareness of a potential paranormal subject or taught the general public something, or better yet, has something been learned about the mysterious world? Well, granted, even hoaxes can teach us something if we just knew that they were hoaxes, for sure. And sometimes that happens. This year alone, there was a few stories that unfortunately we found out were hoaxes, but it did teach us something. Now, some feel that all hoaxes harm the paranormal. That may be true, but I think it some of them educate us on what to look out for as far as stories or types of data that's presented, especially the way people present this information. I think the more we look at it, the more we can smell a lie. And it's easy to believe everything, but it's kind of hard to be skeptical when you want to believe deep down. Now, second, I look at how viral the story was. Many stories I talk about are popular. That's why I'm talking about them. And they're popular on paranormal websites, but some of them haven't been heard outside of this arena or where the story took place. A story that is big at regional level will have more weight than a story that's just local. And a global story will have even more weight than that. But also with this, I look at how much it was talked about through social media, as well as how long it lasted in the news as a developing story. And it's kind of hard to judge that way, because media has kind of lost its grip in more ways than one. I'm sure a lot of people are nodding their heads right now. Social media has kind of taken over, and it's kind of hard to judge that unless you're looking at hashtags on which story is more viral than others. But, you know, I can't just say, well, it's shown up on my newsfeed 10 times and this other story is only shown up 5 times, so this 10 times is more viral. It's not that easy. So there's a lot of little things I look at as far as how viral a story is. And it's kind of a hard thing to judge anymore. It used to be easy, but it's gotten very, very difficult with social media kind of taking things over. Lastly, I look at the reality of the story, meaning, does this story include a real person, or is it possibly just made up for website hits? Now, I usually do that work early on, before I even talk about them here, to make sure that they're true newsworthy stories and not going to embarrass me later on when the truth comes out. So that kind of is a nutshell in how I'm looking at these things. Like I mentioned, this year there was 40-some-odd stories that I list that I kind of had to whittle down, and it was hard. This year was hard because you don't have – I mean, there's a few stories that were standout stories, but you get past that, and it gets kind of difficult. And it's a lot of information to kind of contemplate and to think about. And the year's not up. Like, we just had a thylacine story pop up today, and who knows what's going to pop up next week or the week after. So you may wonder, well, what happens if a big breaking story happens? How do you adjust all that? Well, it's pretty much everything's locked in at this point. I'm not going to start changing things. But as I get to the end of the year, when I hit the final episode, December 27th, hopefully we don't turn into chicken tenders by then, that's when I'll debut the top two. And if I do make any changes in the top 10, that's when I'm going to make them public. And that's when I'll debut it. And we'll talk about it then. There's a lot of other stuff. Since there was, you know, I whittled down the top 10, I've also decided this year to have another list, the top 5 paranormal hoaxes of 2016. We'll talk about that another night. And also, some 2016 missed the list events. Plus, we'll also talk about the 6 years of top 10 stories. And last year when I did this countdown, I talked top 3 since 2008. But I'm going to spend more time this year talking about everything. We'll cover these top 10 stories if you want me to. If you don't want me to, just tell me, and I'll keep them secret. Actually, they're already – most of them are already out there. There's between my Paranews Insider Blogspot blog and my Paranexus blog, I think four of the 6 years are already on blogs. The others I have, and we'll talk about. But first, my gosh, we got to get into this countdown. That's the important thing, right? But – first, tonight, I'm going to cover one story that didn't even make the top 10. And one of them was the thylacine. That's right. We just talked about it tonight. And when I heard this news, I was kind of hoping that maybe the thylacine would wedge its way back in to the top 10. But no. No. Now, we talked about this already. The March 29th show, the Tasmanian tiger was seen in December at Venus Bay Caravan Park in Venus Bay, Australia. This was a sighting that went public about something that happened the year prior. So this was a newsworthy item, and I covered the history of the Tasmanian tiger. And that kind of was the kickoff for what would be the thylacine, the year of the thylacine, almost this year. But yeah, we had to wait till these videos came out. September 6th, when the first video came out, that was shot in February of 2016. And they thought that this was proof positive of the thylacine. And it was released by the Thylacine Awareness Group on September 5th on their Facebook site. That was a shaky video that showed this large creature walking by a home across the street from the person filming it. And it was sketchy. It kind of looked like it could be a thylacine, but there's really not enough. And we wonder, you know, is this video tampered with? Why would it be in a residential area? It just seems a little dicey. And really nothing came from that. It just kind of disappeared. And the same people that held belief just kind of didn't really mention it again. And September 20th of this year, the Thylacine Awareness Group released a second video of a purported thylacine sighting. Now, this one was also kind of a historical one. It's from a few years prior. And this one was a creature walking, running, and hopping through a field. Although it kind of looked like it was injured. A lot of people commented it looked like it was just hobbling around. Now, the tail and overall body structure, this one, we could see it. It was a little grainy, but it did look like it could pass for a thylacine. However, the major problem with that is it's what it's called a mainland sighting. That is, it's from Australia and not Tasmania. And again, I covered this earlier in the show. The last sighting in Australia, in mainland Australia, happened over 20,000 years ago. So Tasmania, they had them up until 1936. Well, actually about 1916 when they were pretty much eradicated from Tasmania. But 2,000 years without seeing one, that's a long time. And I don't know. And I think that's why this story just didn't make the list. Now, again, just this week, actually 2 days ago, November 27th, two more videos showed up. Granted, one was from August of 2014, and stills of these short clips don't show anything definitive. They both look really grainy, and it's only going to serve to stir the debate on whether these were legitimate sightings or not. Now, a lot of people believe that it's potential, and I'm not arguing that. So why didn't the story make the list? Well, the thought of a wild thylacine being found in the wild is enticing. And of known large extinct animals that have the potential to be rediscovered, I would personally put this very high on the list. I'm a believer in the thylacine existing, just not in mainland Australia. I just don't think it's possible. Unfortunately, the videos and sightings that we've seen this year have not been enough to convince anybody, well, anybody of importance or too many people other than those people that are already kind of caught up in all this, that the Tasmanian tiger is still alive. So if it had anything to really go on, I would say, yes, it's going to make the list. But sadly, it's just not enough for me. It just doesn't do enough. So with that, now we enter the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016 as counted down by yours truly here on the Paranormal News Insider. I don't have a drummer. I was going to run to you. No, he's not here. I was going to rent a guy to do, the little drum roll, but it's not in the budget this year. So anyway, okay. So top 10, we're going to cover 10 and 9 tonight. And then, like I said, the next 4 weeks after this, we'll do two more. So December 6th, you'll have 8-7, then 6-5, 4-3 on December 20th. And then December 27th, we'll culminate with the top two of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And that's going to be an interesting night. We're going to do 2 hours. I think we're going to do 2 hours. That's going to be a 2 hour worthy show. Cover the year that was. And we'll rehash all the ones I'm talking about, including tonight's show. We'll rehash the top 10 quickly. And we'll also talk about the top 10 stories of the last 6 years. It's going to be a lot of information to cover. 7 years worth of information. We'll also talk top three of 2008 and 2009. So that'll be 9 years worth of information. Wow, you're lucky to hear this. This is a lot of great information. So anyway, number 10 on the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016 is the story of the CERN sacrifice. I'm sure you remember that. That was pretty recent, August 23rd. And just what happened at the CERN particle accelerator facility? Well, a strange video surfaced in late August of what appeared to be, that's right, a human sacrifice. It was a two-minute video that showed the Geneva facility near the Shiva statue that it's been the source of controversy ever since it was donated to the facility in 2004 by India. Now, Shiva is a Hindu deity portrayed as a dancer who performs a dance that is said that can destroy the universe. Now, many have focused on this aspect of Shiva and have thought that CERN is no doubt up to evil and intends to ultimately destroy the Earth. Maybe they'll turn us into chicken tenders. Others have also expressed concern about what CERN is up to, including physicist and cosmologist Stephen Hawking. Well, I guess he's an actor too, this little commercial. However, the monument's plaque is meant to show the symbolism between Shiva and what CERN is doing with science by stating, quote, hundreds of years ago, Indian artists created visual images of dancing Shivas in a beautiful series of bronzes. In our time, physicists have used the most advanced technology to portray the patterns of the cosmic dance. This metaphor of the cosmic dance thus unifies ancient mythology, religious art, and modern physics, unquote. And that's actually on the monument's plaque. But what about this video? Now, in the video, it's kind of creepy. I'm sure you've seen it. A bunch of people wearing long black robes walking into the courtyard near the Shiva monument. In a matter of seconds, a woman has her robe taken off by somebody else, and she lays down as others kneel. Now, a robe person then displays what appears to be a knife and then seemingly stabs the woman. As the cameraman, who is filming through a window, begins to run away swearing. Sure, that's what we'd all do, right? Now, a couple of obvious things with this video. It seems kind of weird that the person would be filming out of the window just as the people make their way to the courtyard. Also, if you look at the reflection, it appears that this person's also wearing a black cloak, which obviously turned out to be a hoax. Now, officials at CERN, known as the European Organization for Nuclear Research, immediately launched an internal investigation into the video, which appeared on YouTube. And it was uploaded by a person with a username Ron Johnson, who then told username Richie from Boston to post it. Ron Johnson states that the video was on a Facebook occult site and was not supposed to go mainstream. So it was like an inside thing, I guess. Now, all those who enter the CERN facility do so with a badge. So determining a few basic facts should hopefully lead them to uncover who is responsible. Unfortunately, CERN did an internal investigation and has not made anything public as far as I'm concerned, as far as I've been able to find. But it's just creepy anyway just to see this video. I mean, what the heck were they thinking? It's just spooky. It was just a crazy thing, and it was very viral, and you had a lot of different people talking about it, from conspiracy theorists to me talking about it too. It was just weird. It's not something you would expect to see. So why is it on the list? How did it beat out thylacine? Well, a sacrifice on film involving CERN. I mean, what's not to love about that? CERN alone. The Large Hadron Collider, it's been the center of many top stories over the years here on the Paranormal News Insider, and is a closely followed subject by many in the paranormal, as well as conspiracy theorists, obviously. And how many times have I mentioned CERN or the Large Hadron Collider just this year? A lot. So that, no doubt, had some help with getting the story into the top 10. And, you know, I got to go out on a limb and say I doubt anyone saw a human sacrifice being filmed at the facility coming at all. And it certainly got a lot of attention. Certainly, if not even with being with CERN, it's still a very weird and interesting story to come out for this year. I think that's the only human sacrifice story that I've come across this year, maybe even in the last, oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years that I've been doing this show. I don't think I've come across a video of a I'm sure if I look, though, maybe there is. I don't know. So why is it only number 10? Why couldn't the story be number one, you say? Well, while the story is still creating thoughts of a cover-up, it is essentially being recognized as a prank and was dealt with quietly by the folks at CERN. While it remains probably the most outlandish paranormal and viral story of the year, it did not stay in the media very long and seemed to disappear without a whimper. So that was kind of what hurt it. And it did linger for a little bit, but not too much, and just kind of disappeared. So CERN sacrifice is your number 10 story of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And number 9, The Conjuring 2. What? I just heard somebody go, what? Yeah, The Conjuring 2. Now, this movie came out in theaters June 10th and is the obvious sequel to the 2013 movie, The Conjuring. Well, the first movie was the 19th highest grossing movie of 2013 and was based on the 1971 case involving a farmhouse in Rhode Island. Now, the sequel is based on a little bit more of a famous case, that of the Enfield Haunting, or what's known as the Enfield Poltergeist. Now, there was a lot of heat coming before this movie even came out, and a lot of people were arguing about this. And we had kind of two sides. You had the Warren followers, and you had those who, you know, they're very skeptical of the events and of this potential movie, or this movie potentially showing anything factual at all. And the actual Enfield Poltergeist got a lot of press this year and a lot of focus and attention by people who were either involved with it or had documented it. And a lot of people said that the Warrens were frauds and they weren't even part of the Enfield case, and they shouldn't even be highlighted in the film dealing with the case. Well, you know, that's Hollywood for you. They're just to sell tickets. And that's it. I won't get into the entire case here, but it's interesting to see, you know, how this movie played a part in the Paranormal News from this story first breaking out in even before June. There was stuff in the news about it. June 21st, people were still losing their minds about this. There were stories of a woman claiming to be possessed in a theater, and a man who purportedly found a cross drawn on his bathroom mirror at a hotel after seeing the movie. And then a 65-year-old man in India who complained of chest pains during the movie was rushed to the hospital. Now, the guy died. Well, not because of the movie. I wonder if he got a refund. But that's not the weird part. When his body was sent to another hospital for a postmortem examination, the driver and body never made it to the hospital and disappeared without a trace. Well, it's not the movie's fault, but I don't know. July 2nd, another story hit where 300 theaters in France had the movie removed. Well, it's not because it was too scary, but it was because it promoted violent reactions from viewers. Now, the successful sequel had been pulled from 262 French theaters following loud laughter and hysterical yelling. Purportedly, the frequent screaming also led to physical altercations in at least one theater. The movie was reportedly removed on June 29th, the opening day for the movie in France, due to disruptive conduct. Now, it's not because it's too scary. Paranormal Activity 4, Annabelle, and Sinister have also been partially banned in French theaters. So why is it on the list? It's just a movie. What kind of an impact did this really have? Well, it was one of the most, if not the most discussed paranormal-based movie this year, and maybe in many years. And had a lot of people on both sides, two different sides of the fence, people arguing about this film. It wasn't just a concern about how good it was. It was about the facts behind it. Now, that alone might not have been enough to get into the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. But the fact that it continued to come into the paranormal news with all these weird, outlandish, strange stories, that's what really carried it into the top 10. Why is it only number 9? Well, while the movie generated a lot of ongoing discussion through the summer, the hype was probably there just to help sell the movie. And it seemed like a lot of the focus of these stories was happening from the United Kingdom, where they kind of had a little bit of an investment in the Enfield Poltergeist story. And while the film was fairly successful, it's just the top – well, it's in the top 25, but it's just the 24th top-grossing movie of 2016 so far – and has grossed less than a third of the original film. As far as the rest of the stories related to the movie, none of really seem to be based in anything other than just how to scare people. And, you know, how the film isn't just being interpreted, because it's got this urban legend kind of feel about it. But I feel it was important enough to make the top 10. So it made number 9. So that's number 10 and number 9 of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And like I said, next week, December 6th, we have number 8 and number 7. And trust me, folks, those might not have been really great stories. You might have remembered them. But as we get closer to number 1, they get more and more interesting. And yeah, you're going to love them. So, book of the week this week. Been doing a lot of reading. Haven't had a whole lot of time between work and worrying about my car and everything else and a lot of other things going on. But I've been trying to catch up on some reading. I have a whole stack of books I got to read. The book of the week this week comes from a vacation I took back in September. Now, I'm not a huge fan of books that are from different regions or areas. We have, I'm from Ohio, so we have a Haunted Ohio series, a lot of books that are from the state of Ohio. And I do frequently, when I'm on vacation, I do like to look at these books, and I don't always buy them because some of them just, they just don't appeal to me as much as other books. But it depends on the research, and it depends on how they're done. And just because I was in Alaska doesn't mean that I had to buy a book on weird or strange stories of Alaska. But that's what I did, because this book is really, really good the way it's put together. It's called Strange Stories of Alaska and the Yukon by Ed Farrell. And when I saw it, I kind of rolled my eyes. I'm not going to lie. I rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, here we go. Bunch of made up stuff, urban legends and folklore that I've already heard 100 times from Alaska, because I'd been there 10 years prior on my honeymoon. And we decided to go back for our 10 year anniversary and picked up this book. And weird as it is, this book is actually from 1996, which is essentially when I kind of got interested in the paranormal and began my little journey. So it's a pretty old book, which kind of, when I flipped it open and I saw that, 1996, good grief, that's pretty old, 20 years. But I flipped through it and I saw the breakdown, the contents, and I read the back of the book, which kind of intrigued me because there's a picture on the back of a mastodon. And I'm kind of a I kind of have an interest in strange animal sightings, especially mastodons in the Arctic. I've heard a lot of stories over the years about that. And so I was interested in reading this book just for that. But as I started flipping through the book, I noticed that these are newspaper accounts. These are actual accounts from other people, first person or second person accounts that are documented in other methods. And all this information collected by Ed Farrell is documented in this book, where he found this information from and who said it and where it came from. So I think that's great. It's researched very, very well. So I have a great respect for that, the way it was laid out. So, yeah, I picked it up and made a little bit of room in my suitcase for it to bring it home from Alaska. So it's an interesting series of stories. I think he said there's 43 stories in this book. And it's kind of broken down between unknown creatures, strange inhabitants, places of mystery, messengers from beyond. There's a lot of weird stuff like lost mines and gold being hidden. Forgotten civilizations, which is really interesting. Weird places like oases out in the Yukon area. And of course, giants of the past, talking about mastodons and mammoths. Some of these stories I've actually read. So it was really interesting to actually see the actual documented story not being redone by somebody else. So Strange Stories of Alaska and the Yukon by Ed Farrell. This week's book of the week, really good read. And I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I picked it up, glad I read it. Finally got a chance to read through it. And a fantastic book. And with that, my goodness, an hour has gone by already. At the top of the hour, and it's time for me to bid you adieu. So keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. Above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.